See You Now is a podcast highlighting the innovative and human-centered solutions that nurses are coming up with to solve for today's most challenging healthcare problems. Created in collaboration with Johnson & Johnson and the American Nurses Association.
All too often, nurses are invisible. They are part of the fabric. In the hospitals, they're part of the room rate. We don't see them represented in the media in the same way as other health professionals. We also know that they are not always at the decision-making tables where critical health system design and healthcare decisions are being made. How do we make sure that we better define, describe, and convey all the things that nurses do and can do? And then how do we help those whose importance can be amplified to also get the respect and the investment and the protection that nurses need? Without nurses, there's no healthcare workforce. Without a healthcare workforce, there's no health. Without health, there's not a healthy economy. And without a healthy economy, you don't have productive workers. This is an incredibly challenging time for healthcare everywhere. And as I have seen nurses around the world and the incredible work that they do, as well as followed and advocated improvements for helping U.S. nurses to address some of the struggles and legitimacy and importance and respect in the United States, it just strikes me that it is even more important right now to move nursing from being invisible to invaluable.
Welcome to See You Now. I'm Rebecca McEnroy, executive producer for See You Now. As we turn the pages on our calendars and welcome a new year, nurses are again in the spotlight, and healthcare is top of mind. It is a moment when we're taking stock of where we put our attention and our investments. Our healthcare teams, our nurses, are the scaffolding of our nation's health, the backbone of our global structure, the foundation of our prosperity, and the core of our humanity. When we're talking about what it means to invest in nurses, we're talking about trust and how we as a society value life. Nurses hold the delicacy of new life in their hands and the dignity of a life lived with their presence. In this episode, we continue to expand our understanding of what it means to invest in nurses. Building on insights from our conversation in episode 128 with Howard Catton, president of the International Council of Nurses, about the role nurses play in national security, economic stability, and the true cost of nurse recruitment. Here, Oriana Baudet, vice president of innovation at the American Nurses Association Credentialing Center and Foundation, talks with nurse leader Pam Cipriano, immediate past president of the International Council of Nurses and former president of the American Nurses Association, to explore the urgent need to invest in nurses, why the economics of nursing must be restructured, what's unique about the U.S. healthcare system, how properly valuing nursing could reshape health policy and politics, and what's at stake for the future of healthcare if we fail to act.
I'm Pam Cipriano, the immediate past president of the International Council of Nurses and former president of the American Nurses Association. In my more than four decades now, I am very proud to be a nurse, a registered nurse, and be able to provide not only care in the early years of my career, but leadership to nurses and organizations because I believe strongly in the contributions that nurses make to improve healthcare. Most of my career was really in leading academic health systems, particularly as the chief clinical officer, chief nursing officer, or chief operating officer. And then I also served as dean of the University of Virginia School of Nursing for 3 years during the pandemic. Throughout my career, I've had a dual life of being in service as well as having many elected and appointed positions in nursing organizations. And I feel very fortunate to be able to have been in many leadership roles where I could represent the interests of nursing, not only domestically, but globally. Why should anybody invest in nursing right now? Why should we put more of any country or individual employer's sources of revenue into supporting more nursing. We do know several key things. We know that we can increase the global economy if we can get rid of the poor health care occurring in many settings. We also know that as we need to move nurses into primary health care, which is where we're going to be detecting conditions earlier on, as well as providing preventive care and more holistic care, that we could increase life expectancy by 3.7 years. We also know that the economic return on investment on average could be $2 to $4 for every dollar invested in better health in many places, and even up to $10 return for every dollar invested in low-income countries. So why is the key supporting nursing? Well, what we know is that nurses are looking at people from a holistic perspective. Our healthcare systems with the high technology and a high presence of physicians is absolutely critical. There's no question about it. Nurses are not only key in delivering care in those settings, but nurses are everywhere that our communities need care. So when we think about how nurses have the capacity to change healthcare, we look at what it means that in many countries around the world, the nurse may be the only person in a community that is considered a healthcare professional or resource. So we have nurses that are understanding what's happening with families, making sure that they're getting the information such as immunizations, making sure that if we have someone in a household that's having serious mobility issues, end-of-life issues, that they're able to intervene. We also know that nurses are a safe place for kids, youth, parents, all adults to be able to talk about their health issues. In many cultures, people are afraid to say what their problems are or afraid to ask for help when they need it. Nurses can be relied on to give very good advice, be able to solve problems, be able to connect patients to the systems in their countries in order to make sure that people get the care that they want. We've seen interventions by nurses that are able to address things like period poverty, where young girls in poor countries don't go to school when they have their periods because they don't have the supplies that they need, or they're not aware of what needs to happen. And so nurses are providing that education in a way that helps them feel secure about their knowledge, be able to work with their families, their parents, to be able to come up with the supplies that they need so they're not missing school. People don't think of that as something that nurses do, but that's one example. As we think about how care has become very digitalized and there's a high-tech issue, again, this is where nurses are critical to being able to help with large databases that are tracking individuals with non-communicable diseases. That it is the nurse that is out there in the rural communities that has the skills to be able to connect with medical centers where additional monitoring and intervention can be made. But if that nurse wasn't in that community, if that nurse wasn't able to get transportation for that individual to be seen by a physician, sometimes it's hours away, that person doesn't get care and it may be that their life is cut short. So these are the invisible aspects of what nurses have been doing that we have to elevate and be sure that they're recognized.
It's truly an honor to be in conversation with Dr. Pamela Cipriano. She was elected and served two terms as president of the American Nurses Association between 2014 to 2018 and elected ICM president between 2021 and 2025. Dr. Cipriano has repeatedly been voted one of the 100 most influential people in healthcare by Modern Healthcare. And Dr. Cipriano's career of over 40 years has solidified her as a fierce advocate and champion for nurses and the nursing profession. Hello, Pam, and welcome.
Hi, Ori. Thank you so much. Happy to be with you. This has been something that I've worked for on all of my years, you know, even before I was ANA president, to say we have to be able to make sure that the public and all of our governments understand the essential nature of nurses throughout all of our healthcare systems.
Pam, you were really digging into this essential nature of nurses. And I think a lot of the conversations around that is really tied to the economics of nursing. And there are a lot of conversations happening around the United States right now related to this. And I'd love it if you could open up by expanding upon this.
The U.S. with an employer-based healthcare system some government and many private, we see nurses being at the mercy of the leaders of those organizations, where they're setting the salaries, they're setting the number of positions that are funded. And one of the real restraints for nursing over the years that occurred when the movement of care gravitated from the community into hospitals, and this was really in the mid-20th century. Nurses initially were supposed to be a line on the expense report that was specific to the cost of nursing care. However, at the last minute, it was changed and nursing became part of room and board. And if you talk to many nurse scholars today, they'll tell you that is one of the key issues, that there is actually a significant movement to try to change that. That is, again, one of those restraints that has not allowed nursing to emerge as more powerful within our organizations, and I'm talking specifically hospitals, but it's also one that I think reflects a significant lowering of the value. When we're talking about how do we evaluate and rate care, we shouldn't be talking about the quality of the food and the comfort of the bed at the same time talking about the professional care that nurses are providing that really results in life and death. So I think there's a key flaw in the way that the U.S. health system has looked at how we value nursing within the context of care. At the same time, we know that it is the economics of care that really drives decisions. But even upstream from that, in the United States, we do not appear to have been willing to adopt a philosophy in recent decades that truly values health. Now, many of our public health systems, they've stayed true to that. But in many communities, the sources of funding for public health have diminished. Those are mostly state budgets. And so what we see is that we have starved the public health and preventive health programs at the cost of being able to keep up with the other demands. Again, technology is highly expensive, building highly expensive. And so we've shifted to this very expensive healthcare system. And we all know that, again, when you compare the United States to other countries, ours is one of the most expensive, and we do not have across the board the best outcomes. Now, we are leaders in many, many ways. I don't detract from that at all. But when it comes down to nursing, and we're saying to these organizational leaders, how are you viewing your investment in nursing? The kinds of factors that we would want to see included are not always measurable. We know that nurses contribute to efficiency. We know that nurses contribute to better systems. We know that it's difficult to link an actual patient's outcome every time to some of the specific nursing care. But when we strip away the link between diagnosis and actual medications or surgical interventions or other ways that we have care provided, all of the other aspects of following what's happening with that patient's not only physical recovery, but also mental and emotional recovery, understanding whether they'll be able to take care of themselves once they leave the health system, recognizing if there are other pressures or other things that will cause their inability to get better, whether it's a lack of adherence to a plan or something like that, as well as the finer points of making sure that care is very much customized to that patient's recovery. Those don't have a dollar value on them. Those are not the kinds of things that are easily measured. So we need to help our organizational leaders become much more sensitized into understanding why they need to be more prescriptive in terms of maintaining their support for nurses, the right number of nurses, the workload that nurses are enduring, and making sure that they also understand that when they justify supporting nursing, they're justifying valuing health along with valuing the contributions that nurses make. And again, I think that is a paradigm shift that we've just not been ready to make in this country. So I think it's time for us to recognize that not only do we need to be reoriented and refocused on valuing health, but recognizing that it is nurses that are the key to making sure that those parts of the system work very clearly. Nurses are in every aspect of how we deliver healthcare and every setting that we deliver healthcare. But where the biggest concentration is in the United States is in our hospitals. And so again, I think this is why it's been the focus of so much attention. And yet it is part of our system that needs to be healed, not only economically, but philosophically.
Well, and I think that message and the work that you have done is visible in numerous ways. And I think about the Woodhull study and the Woodhull study revisited. And you specifically are cited in that work around nurses' presence in media and raising and amplifying the experience of nurses and how nursing has broader implications for the public and for health and healthcare. You've led nationally across the United States and now globally in this space. What is the broader implication for health, both in the US and internationally?
If we don't reimagine and reset the value equation for nursing, I believe several terrible consequences will occur. One is people will not get the care that they need. And that's devastating because that ties to having healthy people and healthy economies, as well as representing, you know, an essential component of our healthcare system and our healthcare teams. One of the other consequences is that we will begin to see individuals shy away from wanting to become nurses. Right now, the message that many people get is really, really hard work. The pay is not as good as it should be. Nurses are not respected. There's gender inequality. And we need to change that messaging, but we also have to change the reality behind it. So I worry about our future supply of nurses. I worry about our ability to deliver care. And I worry about losing the compassion in healthcare that is also fundamental to what nurses bring to the healthcare team. So reimagining nursing is not saying nurses are all of a sudden going to provide different kinds of care. It's really recognizing how we optimize their roles, how we make sure that we are taking care of nurses, because we want them to be this very strong, thriving part of the workforce that changes the equation too for healthcare. We've moved away from protectionist and public health. That's where nurses need to re-enter a new system of healthcare where collectively around the world, we're protecting people. We're focusing on prevention measures. And at the same time, working across the continuum where nurses have always been the force in terms of, you know, great healthcare experiences from birth through end of life.
And when we think about the nursing profession, you know, right now there is evidence suggesting that we may need over 30 million additional nurses worldwide to meet those healthcare demands. How do we reach this point? And what does that mean for global health and national security if we fail to act?
The nursing shortage is really an enigma in many ways. You know, I think in the United States, we have our own definition where we look at how many vacant positions we have or how many more nurses have we projected we need, primarily based on hospital projections. But what is not apparent when we look at the global reporting, and this is information that countries submit in health workforce reports to the World Health Organization, what's not apparent is that in countries where the government manages and controls the healthcare system, they control the number of positions. So if the government doesn't fund a number of positions, they may say that they have a shortage. But in reality, we also know that there are many countries that actually have a significant number of unemployed nurses. So the true number of nurses needed globally probably far exceeds that 30 million. And we know that those are what we thought were high-end projections, but at the same time, they may be very realistic projections. In the United States, we have an employer-based system. And so our institutions, and obviously we have a lot of government employment in our military system, in our veteran system, but the vast changes we see coming from private employment or state level organizations is again, where we see the number of positions being increased or decreased. Most of our states don't have a lot of unemployed nurses that are choosing not to work or cannot get a job. So the shortage is difficult to describe. The other thing we know is that half of the world's nurses actually work in a very small percentage of countries, and they are the high-income countries. So the shortage is skewed in terms of global distribution. And so it's really important for us to look at what's happening in countries that are not able to afford to fund their positions that we know are necessary, or the conditions affecting nurse employment are so bad that nurses choose not to work. We have some countries where only 20% of a graduating population every year from nursing schools can ever get jobs in those countries. We have places where nurses are forced to work as volunteers before they can get a paid position. And so there are conditions that many American nurses are not aware of that are affecting this global shortage of nurses. Now, it used to be that the half of the nursing shortage reported before the pandemic were across African nations, but now we're seeing some of the significant shortages also occur in nations in the Middle East. So we're watching very carefully what has to happen. But the projections, I think, are really valuable and helpful to look at, how do we need to adjust the preparation of nurses in countries? How do we need to make sure that it's not just a supply issue, because that's what most countries have been focusing on, but it's also the conditions of work. When we think about the supply side, yes, we know that we have to produce more nurses in many places. And sometimes that means retooling the education system. Sometimes that is high-income countries supporting low-income countries, because when they are recruiting away experienced nurses from low-income countries, it leaves a gap. It leaves a brain drain. And so, again, that's another nuance that I think is not always understood in terms of looking at how do countries that are losing their nurses backfill them. The education systems only have so much capacity. So, and it takes years to educate nurses. The other part of that equation that is very troubling is that, particularly as we saw significant shortages just in day-to-day hospital work around the world after the pandemic, most institutions tried to figure out, how do we create more nurses? How do we quickly fill the empty positions? How do we address the shortages locally versus nationally or globally? And so attention got turned to, how do we do better, faster, cheaper preparation of individuals? Well, better is not either faster or cheaper, but we have seen in many places the creation of roles that have much less education, much less knowledge and sophistication, and the skills and mental acuity that we need from nurses being created. And we've seen some of that in the United States as well, trying to look at, how do we fill holes with individuals that are not the same as a registered nurse that has significant education, can make decisions, is a global problem solver, and really, again, is sort of the key to the best healthcare that we can provide.
And I think this really loops around to the work that ICN has done around our nurses, our future, the economic power of care, where ICN asked nursing experts, academics, and economists to reveal that true full value of nursing to societies globally. What did you learn through that work around what it means to invest in nurses? What are some of those challenges that you uncovered, the economics? How are you measuring it? And, where do we go from here? What did you uncover as a part of that report?
Well, first, let me comment again on nurses, our future. This really was fueled by recognizing, coming out of the pandemic, that we needed to take action, and we needed to convince country-level leaders to take action in order to protect the nursing workforce globally, as well as be able to promote the profession of nursing so that we didn't lose any interest, and that we were able to make sure that as we emerged from situations where nurses were very, very much affected physically, psychologically, as well as experiencing moral distress, that we wanted to be sure that we were taking care of nurses, because that was absolutely key to the future. And so we started with that. And again, you've heard me mention value, protect, respect, and invest in our nurses, not just for nurses' sake, but to have a sustainable future for healthcare that in some ways is reimagined and strengthened. So we started with that theme, but we also recognized, what was it that we needed to do to convince country leaders? And that is, we need to speak their language. And as we all know, money talks. Money makes the world go round. So we knew we needed to have messages that came from an economic perspective. Now, it doesn't always mean people are listening and going to act on them, but we believed it was really important to talk about how we could create this understanding that nursing is an investment. It is not just a cost. Yes, it clearly is part of budgets and things like that, but it is an investment that brings significant returns. What we know is that nurses are critical in addressing health inequality. We know that it is nurses that are on the front lines that are recognizing, again, public health challenges, climate effects on health. And so we knew that we needed to bring these messages home in terms of how do we make sure that we have nurses focused on providing care in all settings, because if we don't have nurses that are driving the care in our workforce, again, we don't have health. And one of the lines that I've borrowed, I'm not even sure where I first heard it, is when we think about health security means that nations are able to respond to any kinds of emergencies. And that's also true in terms of economic security. The link to economic security is that we have to have healthy people. And the statement that has resonated with me now for a number of years is healthy adults earn and healthy children learn. So we have to have healthy people. Healthy adults earn and healthy children learn. And when we think about our messaging, economic power of care, trying to turn heads to pay attention and bring the messages home about how they need to invest at a country level, how they need, if they're like the United States, how do our organizations that are private and public need to invest in nursing rather than saying, oh, well, this is a cost that we just need to cut, which is the experience that we've had being invisible over many years, which we have been the subject to workforce cuts that don't take into account the incredible difference that nurses can make. Our most recent International Nurses Day publication that followed the economic power of care was also economically based, and it's Caring for Nurses Strengthens Economies. So bringing together the need to address the well-being of nurses, because once again, that's an economic benefit of investment. It improves patient safety. It improves the outlook of nurses in terms of what they're experiencing in the workplace. So it improves retention, which is a huge cost when you have turnover. That means you're constantly hiring. So I believe through the presentations and contributions of economists and other world leaders that helped us with that first report on economic power of care, as well as then really looking at how do we then take that next deeper dive in understanding that if we are investing in the nursing workforce and their well-being, that also boosts our healthcare system and our economies.
And so when we're looking at restructuring economics and the value of nursing, how could that work around investment in nursing reorient politics and health policy and what nursing looks like in the United States?
In the United States, many times the barriers to people receiving health care has to do with the cost structures. You know, again, we're very much an employer-based system, and that also means that's how people get health insurance. We do have, obviously, the Medicare program for older individuals, and we have the Medicaid program for individuals that can't afford care, and there's lots of nuances there that we all know about. We also know that the Medicaid system is potentially under threat right now in terms of proposed cuts, and we also know that that's a partnership program between our states and our federal government. So it means that it's not the same everywhere. And when we think about a nurse wanting to go out and provide care, if they are employed by a large system and they see a need in the community, the first question that the organization usually asks is, well, how is it going to be paid for? You know, we can't just always provide free care. And yet nurses are often the catalyst in terms of community screenings, free health clinics, participating in with other groups that provide free care. But for much of the concern, nurses cannot just automatically, bring services to people in need, because it is often, again, the question of, well, who's going to pay for it? And so that's where we know that in many cases, again, there is a volunteer system where nurses participate in care at the community. But it shouldn't be that way. It should be that there is a significant community benefit that nurses are participating into saying, what is it that we need to design for our community? And it could be everything from focusing on making sure that poor communities have safe water, have safe spaces to live in, that they have shelter, that they have reasonable food sources. We know about food deserts and things like that. And that's really where I think there's a missing link in the United States. We haven't recognized that there are so many factors that have to be addressed wherever care is being provided. And nurses are often the group that's recognizing, is there transportation for people to get to their health care? There's been a bias about how we care for poor people and how we recognize some of the burdens that they carry. We make it difficult to get into health systems. We make it difficult right now because our economics don't support the number of primary health care providers that we need. That's the entry into the healthcare system. And nurses who have pursued education to be primary healthcare nurse practitioners are under assault by colleagues in many of our states that don't want to see them be able to practice to the full extent of their knowledge. We have political battles as well that are keeping our health system from being as robust and productive as it needs to be. And nurses are continuing to fight on the front lines to change these laws, again, against significant barriers and obsession by competing providers, if you will. So we want in the United States to take advantage of the fact that we are very privileged in terms of the quality of our nursing workforce, the relationships that we have to the different aspects of our healthcare system, and you know, liberate nurses to be able to do what they can do, again, get with their education, with their keen problem-solving ability, and with their knowledge to look at the patient as a person within their community with very unique needs and provide person-centered care. So the U.S. believes that it is well-positioned, providing universal health coverage, but not really at the level that we should be. So this is really something that I think needs to be taken into consideration by our healthcare leaders. And in a country, again, that has resources, but they're really lopsided in terms of how they're applied. Because we know when we have prevention, we keep people healthy. We know when we have prevention, we are able to reduce the impacts of disease. One of the other parts of this is what we call non-communicable diseases. So this is diabetes, other kind of heart conditions, cancer, mental health. If we were investing more in the upstream causes, including eradicating poverty, we would see a huge reduction in the cost of our healthcare system. So I think the imperative is there to create U.S. policies that really, I'll use the word force a shift. There has to be a really significant shift in how we're spending money in healthcare. Not to say that we back away from the high-tech care, not at all, but there has to be a greater balance. Money will be freed up to continue to invest in new discovery. But we also know that when we think about how we empower nurses, it has to do with healthcare organizations must also at the same time make sure the environment in which nurses are practicing really supports them. We've seen some real degrading of environments. Violence against healthcare workers in the workplace has increased dramatically, not only in the U.S., but around the world. We also know that pay has not kept up, and there's gender inequality, not only in opportunity, but in pay. We also know that we don't see the issues such as the effects of climate change really being addressed in full force in our health systems. But that's where on the front lines, whether it's in a primary care setting or as someone presents to an emergency setting, that it is those frontline providers, particularly nurses, that are able to recognize changes that are occurring in people. So we need to, again, make this a much more holistic system as we're identifying how do we support our healthcare workforce and what do they need to be able to do? Empowering nurses economically as well as from a policy perspective and taking the barriers away from the creative ideas, whether it's to apply technology or whether it's to be more on the ground in a community, really will bring us that return on investment.
And I think this is where the ICN Global Conference brings this investment in nursing, not only nationally in the United States, but globally, brings us back to center. And I love the theme for the 2025 ICN conference, which was Nursing Power to Change the World. And my first conference was in Montreal 2 years ago. And it's a moving experience to be there. It allows you to step outside of what you know and to see the nursing profession through the perspective of others and what that looks like in their communities and cultures and countries. And they're incredibly powerful events to attend. I highly encourage nurses to attend if they can. And but one of the experiences at the ICN conference is the Parade of Nations, because ICN is a federation that consists of 130 national nursing associations. And for the United States, the American Nurses Association is one of those NNAs. But ICN represents nurses globally. And the 2025 ICN conference happened in Helsinki. From your purview, from your role as a leader in this space globally, what were you focused on and what emerged over the course of that event?
I would agree with you that the ICN Congress is, in fact, a moving experience, no matter whether it's your first or your fifth or your 10th. It really is an incredible experience to be with colleagues that are making significant changes in the countries where they come from, as well as in the lives of the people they serve. We're now up to 141 National Nursing Association members, and they are as different as night and day in many respects. But there is a clear common thread, and that is solidarity. We don't think of the word solidarity in the United States a lot, but it's palpable when you are at the ICN Congress, because what you see is enormous sharing of perspectives, of knowledge, of commitment, and recognizing that as a total community, those who have resources will support those who do not. And again, sort of the unencumbered sharing of knowledge and examples of how people can volunteer to help one another outside of that meeting and continue to strengthen nursing is really critical. One of the things that also is important to understand about the contribution of ICN is that not only is our commitment to strengthen nursing worldwide, but also make sure that we advocate for health in all policies is really looking at the fact that there's a whole other side of how nurses interact on the global stage. And not only is ICN the global voice of nursing, but we have also ventured into an area that I wish we could say we did not need to, and that is advocating for peace and being able to recognize that healthcare workers, innocent civilians, and healthcare organizations have been threatened significantly, particularly in the last several years. We've created our program, Nurses for Peace, which has been highly successful in reaching individual nurses as well as nursing associations in areas affected by war and conflict, and recognizing that nurses are peacemakers. And we are part of a number of associations and support the work of the World Health Organization and the other, international groups, trying to bring the message of how health workers and the principles that we stand for really, again, are very dedicated to peace. And we continue to call with, along with other country leaders, for the ability to have ceasefires, for the ability to provide aid, to address all of the humanitarian concerns that we see on our media affecting some of these areas every day.
Pam, there is one experience at the ICN conference that is breathtaking, and I hope that you can maybe describe it to our listeners. Would you share the Parade of Nations?
The parade of our national nursing associations is part of the event that happens at every ICN Congress. It has been a tradition, longstanding tradition, for many, many years. And it is an opportunity not only for the audience, it's an opportunity for individuals to show pride in their nation. It really demonstrates our diversity as well as our consistent commitment to nursing. You see the immense pride, you see just a sense of joy of recognizing that the solidarity of over 140 national nursing associations is what keeps us optimistic. It reinforces that we are stronger together. It recognizes that we are more alike than we are different. It allows us to recognize there may be some very tense relationships as we have nursing associations on opposing sides of some of the geopolitical conflict right now. Yet during that event, it recognizes and applauds the fact that we are there together with the unified goal of making healthcare better and life for people on Earth better and caring for our Earth in a way that supports all of the ways that healthcare can be supported in addition to the sustainability that we all want to see in our communities everywhere. So it is a very moving experience. It's like going to a big party, and I don't say that lightly, but again, it is celebrating nursing and it is celebrating global solidarity.
I love that. And it's beautiful, right? To see everyone there and to see that representation of nurses internationally. It's a powerful moment. And one of the words that you use that I think is really critical is solidarity. And through your leadership, both nationally and internationally, you talked about solidarity, but where are those collective opportunities for nursing as a profession?
Some of the ways that we can participate in and express solidarity are, as already mentioned, the issue around peace and prosperity, and really looking at the protection of innocent civilians. I mean, again, I don't think any of us expected that we would be thinking about how important that was. But this also relates to one of the fundamental protections that we want to see for nursing, which is to prevent moral distress and moral injury. We know nurses in the United States have been very concerned with the humanitarian effects of starvation in a number of areas. We know that nurses have been very concerned with the effects of human trafficking of nurses, particularly as we've seen some of the movement. So there are many causes that nurses can get involved in to make sure that they're part of the campaigns to really focus on what's so important. Again, climate change is one of those issues. Nurses all around the United States and all around the world are very involved. Every little aspect of what we can do to look at reducing the carbon imprint of healthcare, to be able to look at how we can help bring knowledge around planetary health. And ICN just put out a whole information paper about the importance of recognizing the connection of humans and animals and plants in the sustainability of our planet, and recognizing obviously the health impacts that are changing constantly. That also relates to how we can, as a nation, where we're not doing very well at the moment, but need to re-engage around pandemic preparedness and our commitment to security, health security, economic security, because we know that the boundaries between our nations are totally permeable to infectious diseases and to other changes that we're seeing. Again, some of it, such as the climate change, temperature issues, changes in our water supply, food supply, all of those are places where we cannot just assume if it's halfway around the world that it doesn't affect us, because we are all affected by what happens on our planet. Much of the negative effects have been human caused. And so learning about those, learning about planetary health, taking action in our communities and in our nation are all really critical things. And it goes back to the fact that nurses don't operate in a vacuum. We don't just look at a specific disease. We are looking holistically at social determinants of health, at recognizing there are impacts from our environments that we need to understand, and we need to take action within our communities, within our country, and globally to be able to address. I mean, this is really a whole of society issue. And I think nurses are very well positioned to be activists, to be advocates, and to make sure that we bring home, again, our importance. This is part of that economic value of being able to recognize the role that we play in health systems and global healthcare.
Pam, our time with you is flown, and we so appreciate your time. And I want to thank you on behalf of nursing for your advocacy and passion for our profession. One of the things that you've talked about in different ways is really charting this path forward to a new future. And how do we navigate the needs of the moment? What would your messages be for global leaders and heads of state, for nursing leaders, the public, our patients, and for nurses?
So my message to global leaders and certainly heads of state echo the same thought, that with investment in nursing, you're going to be able to save lives, you're going to be able to save money, you are going to be able to have healthier people, which means more productive people, and then that strengthens your economies. We understand that you have many pressures right now on your budgets. We understand that it's important to have that balance. Nurses want to work with you. We want to work with healthcare systems. We see nurses as health multipliers. We know that it's important to address all of the commitments that have been made to universal health coverage, to other parts of the Sustainable Development Goals. We can help you get there, and let us show you what's the importance of addressing upstream effects that are causing health to decline in populations. Let us help you understand what nurses are doing to reduce the non-communicable disease burden of countries, which is not only causes millions of premature deaths, but we know is a very heavy economic burden on your health system. Those are the messages to our global and national leaders. My message to nurse leaders is be there, engaged, get your messages straight, articulate with your elected officials. Take that role seriously, whether it's their local officials or their state level officials or their federal officials and our government in general. Nurse leaders have to speak up. The Gallup poll has named nurses as the most honest and ethical profession for close to 25 years now. We need to capitalize on that, and we need to make sure that we strongly voice the rationale and can offer solutions. And we need to be able to marry the solutions with the outcomes. Working with our patient organizations or our communities, let me tell you how nurses are changing your lives. Some of it you may not see, but here are some really important things that we talk about: managing chronic conditions, being able to anticipate and detect conditions that are changing in your environment or conditions changing in your world, or being able to look at what's happening when we think about things like annual flu immunizations, why some of those things are important. So be able to make very specific connections with our public. Nurses in general, my message to them is to recognize that no matter how much education you have, no matter where you're working, no matter how old you are, no matter how experienced, you have a critical role to play in improving not only health in your community and your organization, but globally. We are a society that is very connected. Problems in one area affect those of us in another. Being a global citizen as a nurse has never been more important. And to be able to be part of that worldwide solidarity is a way that connects us. We need this chorus of voices that in the US is over 5 million strong and now globally has been reported at almost 30 million. We have to be able to use our voice to influence change, and we need everyone to step up.
Special thanks to nurse leader Pam Cipriano, who is the immediate past president of the International Council of Nurses and former president of the American Nurses Association, and to Oriana Baudet, vice president of innovation at the American Nurses Association Credentialing Center and Foundation. As Katrina Marcel writes in her book, Who Cooked Adam Smith's Steak? The founder of modern economics, Adam Smith, famously argued that society is built on self-interest, that markets move because we each pursue our own gain. But there's a detail history often leaves out. Adam Smith lived with his mother, Margaret Douglas, who cooked his meals, cleaned his home, and made his life possible. It was because of her care that Smith had the time and space to argue about how self-centered the market is and could ignore the essential work of care. That contradiction sits at the heart of how we still value labor economically, ignoring the vast unpaid, sustaining labor that actually makes life and markets possible. The caring, the teaching, the cleaning, the tending, the healing. Nurses live right at the center of that invisible economy. Their work that keeps society alive is still too often treated as a cost rather than an investment. Instead of amplifying the essential value of nurses, we all too often overlook the scientific rigor of the profession and undervalue the skills nurses develop and utilize to be effective in their healthcare roles. As Pam said, it is part of our system that needs to be healed, not only economically, but philosophically. For See You Now, I'm Rebecca McEnroy. Thanks for listening. Nurses are transforming healthcare through innovation, compassion, and leadership. And Johnson & Johnson is proud to continue its 125-year commitment to champion nurses through recognition, skill building, leadership development, and more. The American Nurses Association is dedicated to building a culture of innovation. Nurses improve the lives of patients and communities through innovative thinking, empathetic connection, scientific rigor, and sheer determination. ANA is proud to support and advocate for our nation's most valuable healthcare resource, our nurses. For more information on See You Now, visit seeyounowpodcast.com and listen to any of the earlier episodes in our library wherever you get podcasts.